Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dant, Honest America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Eustace Mullins. Eustace is on the editorial board of the American Free Press. He is a contributing editor to the Barnes Review, and among many, many books and pamphlets that he has authored over the years, he is the 1952 author of The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. And we have a caller, Rita, again from Texas. You're on the line for Eustace Mullins. Go ahead, Rita.
Hello, Mr. Mullins.
Yes.
I'm wanting to. One of the concerns that I have about the events leading up to Iran is, bottom line, human beings have an instinct to want to survive.
Oh yes.
And the other deal is that the natural law dictates that when one is attacked, that one has the right of self-defense. And my question to you is, I'm of the belief, and I don't know if you're going to be in agreement of it, but I personally believe that if there is an aggressive, I'm not even going to use the term preemptive, an act of aggression against the people of Iran, do you foresee a retaliatory action? And I'm talking about right here in the shores of the United States of America, as well as in parts of Europe. The reason why I ask that is because I remember reading the speech of Rabbi Rabinovich back in 1952, where he was addressing Jewish Congress in Hungary.
Oh, the Emergency Council of European Rabbis.
Exactly. And he was there talking about the fomenting of World War III and also the plan to really put up in smoke the United States, you know, as well as Europe, and ultimately upon those ashes to control the whole world, you know, via the dark races to begin with. And what I'm thinking is, if there is such a retaliatory defensive attack by the Iranians, I see a maneuver of the Jews trying to incarcerate the Arabs that are in this country. I personally hope that there's concentration camps that they're for the Jews, if they're going to be for anybody.
Oh,
but,
yes.
But I don't believe that if the truth gets out, that this is going to be that this situation is going to be discussed out, because the civil rights riots that happened in the 60s were the result of the venal and oppressive actions of the Jewish Freemasonry in trying to keep people of African ancestry down.
Oh, that reaction is coming, there's no question about it. And they're getting desperate, more desperate all the time.
What do you think may happen here in the United States? Do you think that there may be the possibility of even civil resistance? And I'm not talking about peaceful marches in the streets. I'm talking about outright resistance with regards to this Jewish enemy that's within our own borders.
Oh, I think resistance is coming. No, there's no question about it. A caller called me yesterday, and they said a California court has just outlawed the Internal Revenue Service. And so that's an indication of the way things are going.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I think that the listening public really needs to read some literature that I have been reading ever since I was 12 years old with regards to what the Jews have done to the Christians in communist countries. You know, the torture, et cetera. And you were, you know, the Mark was bringing about, you know, this alleged hate crimes legislation they're trying to, pull over. And
Rita, we're going to take a commercial break, but stay on the line for Eustace. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with our caller and back with Eustace Mullins. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky, the ozone layer unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Soleil salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Soleil wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Soleil Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Eustace Mullins. He is an editorial staff member of the American Free Press. He's a contributing editor to the Barnes Review. He has authored the 1952 book, The Secrets of the Federal Reserve, and among many other books and pamphlets that he has penned over the course of his career. He has authored the 1987 book, The Curse of Canaan, A Demonology of History. Rita, continue your conversation with Eustace. Go ahead.
You know, Eustace, you had mentioned about the fifth column. Omni Christian Book Club carries quite a few of your publications, but they also carry a book that is called Plot Against the Church, by the which the author is Maurice Panay. And I happen to have read that book. And not only have the Jews infiltrated the government of the United States, but they've also have infiltrated the clergy of the Catholic Church.
Oh, they certainly have. That was accomplished through the CIA. Jesus Ankleton was a prominent CIA agent in Italy after World War II, and he used CIA money to bring the Freemasons into the hierarchy of the Catholic Church.
and there's many Catholics. I'm going to say Catholics spelt with a K for kosher instead of C for Christian. I'm serious, you know, because many of these so-called Catholics here in the United States are blindly following this, and I firmly am convinced that Benedict the 16th is a Jew. But I would historically go back even as far as Pius the 10th, as far as Jewry having gotten control of the Vatican, because Rompola. I think he had a Freemason as his confessor.
Oh yeah.
And Pius the 11th. You know, I firmly believe he was Jewish and had contributed to the demise of the Catholics in Mexico by betraying the Cristeros. Pius the 12th. He was there trying to protect the Jews. You know, when they were creating all these problems, you know, there in Europe. He's another Jew. You know, and I really find that as far as the situation is concerned, that people need to wake up and they need to get rid of these Jews. And if they read that book, Plot Against the Church, they'll even see how they've infiltrated the Lutheran religion in Virginia, which, by the way, I was primarily raised in Virginia. I was quite surprised that most of your Baptist ministers in the early 18th century in Virginia were Freemasons.
Oh, God, I didn't know that.
Well, and the other thing, too, that I also found is back in the 1840s, that was when the B'nai B'rith had established the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, and their goal was to take over the judicial system, which I think they accomplished that fact right after the Civil War with the establishment of the various state bar acts, which basically exclude anybody, unless you're a member of the bar, to be able to plead a case.
Oh, that's true.
So, I'm one of those that I'm watching events, Mr. Mullins, and I want to say that I really do appreciate, you know, your research and your comments. I do take your information, you know, with a great deal of weight, and all I could say is that, you know, if war does break out in our own country, I know that that all tyranny comes in the form of a uniform. And just like those people at Lexington and Concord, you know, knew, you know, the target was flaming. So I think we're in need of prayer, but I also think that there's a spiritual chastisement that may be coming to our country because, I mean, this country is getting really riddled with the filth of homosexuality, you know, rampant adultery and fornication and the killing of children. I just cannot see God's divine justice being held back unless something changes. God bless you, Mr. Mullins.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for your contribution.
Yes, indeed.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, Rita. You know, Eustace, she mentions an interesting thing. I had read that even in the contemporary Southern Baptist Convention, that you have a disproportionate number of Southern Baptist clergy who apparently belong to some version of Freemasonry, which leads me to my next question. What in your understanding is Freemasonry, and how does it relate both to the Jewish angle on this in regard to the Talmud and in regard to the Kabbalah, and the whole issue of central banking? Unpack that for us a little bit.
Well, the Kabbalistic theory is very strong in the Federal Reserve Bank, and it observes many of their admonitions about working with the Zionist bankers.
Well, as far as Freemasonry is concerned, how does Freemasonry fit into this picture?
Oh, it goes back to the very origins of all of our problems. It goes back thousands of years. And they've been consistent in their methods all those times, and they're traceable through all the periods of history.
Well, Freemasonry, of course, is a secret society. I understand that it has different divisions, different chapters, and, of course, different rankings within these chapters. What are the fundamental tenets of Freemasonry as you understand them, and how do those relate to this larger picture of central banking?
Well, the principal tenet of Freemasonry is it's a secret society. Therefore, its members are allied against the whole world, and they are compelled to work with each other. Many of those of Freemasonry offer such things as having your heart torn out by the roots if you betray any secret of Masonry and so forth.
And do you see Freemasonry as essentially Jewish in its origins?
Oh, yes. Albert Pike, in his book, Morals of Dogma, which is the Bible of Freemasons, he says our God is Lucifer, not Christ, that he's very frank about the whole situation.
Yes, I have a friend out in the Pacific Northwest who is a Lutheran pastor, and quite a number of years ago was broadcasting on KGNW Radio in Seattle, and he was trying to unpack this Freemasonry issue with the utilization of Pike's book. Are we then to see a situation where there is an overlapping of ideology between Freemasonry and Zionism, and that both are committed to a one-world government?
Oh, yes, because Freemasonry itself is committed to reestablishing the temple in Jerusalem for Solomon and the Jewish people. They're frank about their goals.
And so presumably, then, you have we've come full circle then to this whole question of Zionism, not simply as the reestablishment of a Jewish homeland in Palestine, and not simply Zionism in terms of the question of its borders. Many people have lost sight, of course, today of the fact that the original Zionists were very candid about the fact that they wanted to control an area between the Nile River and the Euphrates River. But we also then need to see Zionism as the glue which holds the drive toward world government together, and that this world government would be based where?
Oh, well, in Jerusalem, by the rebuilding of Solomon's Temple.
Yes, and would you see then the whole movement toward the rebuilding of the temple on the current site of the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, that is the ultimate goal of those who are not simply pushing for a continued Jewish presence throughout Jerusalem and throughout all of Palestine, but that would be the ultimate seat of contemporary world power then?
Oh, yes. The whole purpose of Freemasonry is to reestablish the world kingdom of the Jews.
And in that regard then, how close do you think we are to seeing this come to fruition? I mean, just in my brief lifetime, I think of the events just of the last two decades. We've seen the rise of NAFTA, GATT, the World Trade Organization, the ongoing proliferation of the power of the UN and the World Bank and the Import-Export Bank and so forth and so on. Now we have, presumably, a strengthening of the resolve to use NATO as a world military police force. And now we've got this American and British military presence in the Middle East, which arguably is being utilized to further Israeli objectives in the region and in the world. How far away, how far removed do you think these people are from having the complete consummation of their goals coming to pass?
Well, we're still far away from it because with our concentration of power has come increased resistance throughout the world and a concomitant waking up of people all over the world to how dangerous our situation really is.
Well, Rita was citing what I have talked about a little bit with E. Michael Jones on this show, who has his Culture War site, and Dr. E. Michael Jones in his previous print edition of Culture Wars had a very extensive discussion of the role of world Zionism in infiltrating the Roman Catholic process that we know today as Vatican II. I want to take that up with you a little bit when we come back, as well as to discuss the alliance of Zionism with most of what is known in the contemporary world as the movement of the Christian right in the United States. This is Mark Gantkos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned for Eustace Mullins.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole Wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Eustace Mullins. Eustace is an editorial staff member of the American Free Press. He's a contributing editor to the Barnes Review. He authored the 1952 book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. Among many, many other books that he has penned is the 1987 work, The Curse of Canaan, A Demonology of History. Eustace, before the break, we were talking a little bit about this whole issue of the Zionist infiltration of the Catholic Church at the time of Vatican II. Michael Collins Piper and E. Michael Jones have both talked about the role of Malachi Martin as being a Zionist agent within the Catholic realm who was carrying on Zionist purposes covertly during Vatican II. Malachi Martin, of course, later turned up as a correspondent for Bill Buckley's National Review, among many other things. We've also just started to get into the whole conversation in regard to the Zionist alliance with the mainstream leaders and movements of the so-called American Christian right. What do you make of that alliance, and do you think that the contradictions in that alliance are in the process of being exposed? Go ahead.
Oh, there's no contradictions at all. Pat Robertson and Jared Falwell have gone much too far in their work with the Zionists, and they've discredited quite a bit. And more people are becoming disillusioned with their tactics, which have been basically, they've been paid enormous amounts of money, $5 million a week, from Jews for carrying on this propaganda for Israel.
Yes, and this gets at the heart of something that Dr. Robertson Guinness of Catholic Apologetics International was talking about on this show some weeks ago. We were discussing his article, which reappeared in the Lutheran Christian News, which chronicled the fact that, for example, Richard John Newhouse, the ex-Missouri Synod Lutheran, who is now a Catholic priest and the editor of First Things, had received, according to Dr. Sungenis, $8.5 million from Jewish neoconservative foundations since 1990. That then, in your judgment, would be the context in which we need to take a larger look at the relationship of any of these so-called religious spokesmen with Zionism and with the promotion of Israeli interests. What does that say about John Hagee of San Antonio and his so-called Christians United for Israel? Have you done any research on that?
No, I've run into that, but it's typical. Money is at the base of all these things, and these people are strictly working for cash. And the Jews, adding up millions of dollars, and they're glorying in this. But at the same time, I think their influence is weakening because they're so obviously paid agents.
Well, yes, I was contacted some weeks ago by a reporter for the Wall Street Journal who had done an extensive piece on John Hagee and Cornerstone Church in San Antonio and Hagee's Christians United for Israel. And he was interested in following up on a San Antonio Express News piece on Hagee, which attempted to get at the bottom of some of the money trails leading to Hagee's Christians United for Israel, as well as some of his other nonprofit foundations. And it was brought out that Hagee, legally I might add, Hagee was legally some way able to bring a number of his nonprofit organizations under the aegis of his church in a way which has shielded closer public, shielded him and shielded these foundations from closer public scrutiny in regard to who some of the individuals and groups are that have been donating to some of his operations. This reporter with the Wall Street Journal, whose name I believe was Andrew Higgins, indicated that he had been trying to do a story on Hagee, but had been unsuccessful because of this tax shelter situation with the tax laws and getting into more of the specifics of the names and the amounts of money that are involved in Hagee's group. But again, presumably, you would see it as fair to perceive that Hagee has, obviously, as does Falwell, as does Robertson, a very significant, potentially definitive, potentially overwhelming relationship financially with Jewish interests, and that is maybe the way in which his whole public proclamation needs to be evaluated. Would that be your take?
Oh, it certainly would. They've been getting away with murder far too long on these tax-exempt operations, and they've been doing a wonderful propaganda job for Israel, but I think it's losing some of its effect because they're more and more becoming known as well-paid agents, and Pat Robertson has built an empire down at Virginia Beach with Jewish money.
Yes, and again, my take on this is that as more of this gets exposed, even partially exposed publicly, it has led to a lessening of their effectiveness, in my view.
Oh, I think so, too. I think Pat Robertson has become almost a comic figure. And I went to college with him, you know, and he wasn't interested at all in religion at that time.
Interesting. We'll take up that when we come back, as well as take a caller. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Eustace Mullins is with us today. He is, of course, on the editorial board of the American Free Press. He is a contributing editor to the Barnes Review. And among many other things, he is the author of the 1952 work Secrets of the Federal Reserve. Mike in New York, you're on the line for Eustace Mullins. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Dancos, for having the greatest historian I ever knew from the United States. And I have one question for Eustace Mullins. I heard on a Michael Collins Piper, you cure yourself of cancer with a peroxide. Can you tell the story about it?
The story of hydrogen peroxide?
Yeah.
Well, I worked with people on that for years, and it's been very effective for a lot of things for to relieve a lot of situations.
Okay. So, because Michael Collins Piper said you had a cancer and you cure yourself with a peroxide, so that's That's all. But thank you for all your work, and was honored to speak with you. And thank you, Mark Danko, for the great show every morning. Thank you,
Jeff. Hey, thanks, Mike, and give me a call again. I look forward to talking to you in future shows. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So Eustace, he was saying that Mike Piper had been saying that you had treated some sort of cancer with a peroxide agent?
No, I had not personally, but I lectured for several years with a postman up in North Dakota who had been worked with a Catholic priest on that, and it had been very successful.
What kinds of cancers was the peroxide agent used to treat?
Mostly internal cancers, because it was used internally.
Yes. That's interesting. You know, I had not heard of this before. That's utterly fascinating. Were there any subsequent studies done on this in regard to the amounts that were used and the success rate on it? You know, what's behind all of that?
Well, I think he used it in frequent doses throughout the day, and then a certain solution, and that proved to be very effective. There was a Catholic priest, I can't remember his name now. I haven't heard of him for about 15 years.
Yes. Well, in terms of your own work then for the American Free Press and the Barnes Review, what kinds of topics do you anticipate researching and covering in coming months, Eustace?
Well, there'll be more of the political developments, more of the economic situation, and, of course, more of the neocons are really taking over the government in the capital of this country.
Yes, and presumably that brings us back to the John Sharp situation. Presumably this Navy lieutenant commander, who is the editor and publisher, as I understand it, from Steve Snigoski, of two works. One is called Neocon, the other one Neocon Again. And again, Lieutenant Commander Sharp had attracted some, you know, really marquee names, it seems to me, to the exposure of the neoconservative movement in the United States. I mean, you start, you know, talking about Noam Chomsky and Pat Buchanan, Justice Raimondo, and Paul Gottfried, were just a handful of the really significant people that I can remember off the top of my head that were involved as contributors to Sharp's books. Then apparently resulted in a situation where the Southern Poverty Law Center, Morris D's group, and presumably the Anti-Defamation League working behind the scenes through D's group were very much involved in trying, have been very much involved in trying to get Sharp out of the Navy, not simply in terms of what may be a personal vendetta against him, but one would suspect that the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League, among others, are trying to convey the message that if there's anyone else in the American military or presumably in the American media or the educational institutions that wants to talk about this sort of thing, that their careers will be threatened too. I would suspect that you've had your own experiences with that, Eustace. What advice would you give to someone like John Sharp or someone else out there that has been on their...
Well, keep on what you're doing. Don't give up anything, because the more they attack you, the more they fear you. And they must be very worried about his work to make that kind of attempt. But going through the military to go after somebody is pretty risky for them, because it risks exposure. And
I thought it was...
I don't know how far they're going to push this.
Well, that's why I, you know, put a front page story on Breaking All the Rules main news page yesterday, talking about this Lieutenant Commander John Sharp, and with URL links to the letter written on his behalf to the Navy Times by Dr. Steven Snigoski of The Last Ditch. I also put a URL link to a Roman Catholic group that has issued a news release on Lieutenant Commander John Sharp's behalf. And presumably, with the number of people that I sent those links to, that will start proliferating in terms of the number of people that are actually aware of this Sharp case. And what it suggests to me is that there is an opportunity for people like us. And the opportunity largely revolves around internet technology, it seems to me, because I must be among the first to admit that going back to my own college career, I was not familiar with Spotlight magazine, the predecessor of the American Free Press. I was not familiar with Eustace Mullins. I was not familiar with the kinds of researchers and writers and articles that tend to come out of those kinds of sources and circles. Now I am. And presumably, it seems to me, with this internet technology, we're able to distribute our side of the aisle on these questions to wider audiences than ever before. Eustace, do you find that the internet has increased the number of people out there that are aware of who you are and who are aware of all the research that you've been involved with for over 50 years?
Oh, they have given me a tremendous amount of space, and people look me up on the internet all the time, and I say the amount of lineage that they're giving me is really incredible.
Yes, and again, it seems to me that this is, as I think about it, the one technology that continues to emerge, speaking of the internet, that has allowed us the opportunity to disseminate your works, Mike Piper's works, what Mark Glenn is doing at Crescent and Cross. It's given the situation with the Irving and Zundel cases a whole new exposure to much wider audiences. Does this kind of effectiveness suggest that in conjunction with the hate crimes legislation, that there's going to be more of a centralized attempt on the part of Zionist elements to regulate control of the new, control of the internet and its usage?
Oh, they're definitely going to intensify their campaigns, but I think it's going to be counteractive and bring a backlash against them. For instance, when David Irving was sent to prison in Austria, he was almost immediately released because of worldwide indignation that a historian was being treated like this.
Yes, and it seems to me that for people like David Irving and Zundel, Ernst Zundel, and Mark Glenn and Mike Piper and yourself, that in some cases you have allies out there that are not necessarily with you on your particular take on Zionism or Judaism or the Federal Reserve or some of the conspiracy theories of history that emanate from these points of view. But there are people out there, presumably, who may not agree with those things, who would nonetheless say, hey, when we start talking about criminally prosecuting people for freedom of speech, when we start talking about coercive attempts to take their views out of circulation in a free society, we are treading on dangerous ground. And therefore,
a lot of the historians who came to David Irving's rescue weren't particularly in agreement with him, but they felt that they had to do something, and they did.
Yes, and so I think this is perhaps the most hopeful development that we have had in the last 15 or 20 years has been all of the proliferation of this internet technology and the number of people who either have computers or access to computers who suddenly find themselves encountering Eustace Mullins or Mark Glenn or Mike Piper and so forth on the web, and it leads them to an awareness not only of what's going on now but what has been going on. And presumably this is going to make the Zionist lobby's efforts to regulate all this more difficult than ever.
Oh, yes, because my books are selling quite well on the internet alone now. I have a man handling those, and they're encountering quite an audience.
Well, specifically in regard to your, what according to Wikipedia, they term this your most notable work, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. You may feel that you've written other books that are just as notable, and I think so too, but they indicate that Secrets of the Federal Reserve is the most notable book. It mentions that that book was commissioned by Ezra Pound, the poet and political activist. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with Ezra Pound. There may be listeners who are not aware of who he is. Could you unpack that a little bit for us in terms of...
Oh, yes. He was...
Go ahead.
He was imprisoned in an insane asylum in Washington, D.C., a federal insane asylum, imprisoned for that trial for 15 years. And I met a newspaper man to help to get him out through a congressman, and he was released in 1958.
Who was behind this false imprisonment?
That was the ADL and the Jewish lobby in Washington. They boasted that he would never leave St. Elizabeth alive, and I first visited him in 1948, and it was a consensus in Washington that nobody could do anything to help him because the Jewish lobby was so strong that he was doomed to spend the rest of his life there. And after I took this newspaper, this newspaper man to see him, he said, I talked to Ezra a little while, he said, well, you don't belong in here. And Ezra said, well, I know that, because he had 3,800 visitors there, and nobody had seen any mental problems at all. And he was a very brilliant conversationalist. So as soon as the congressman heard what was going on, he got on the floor of Congress and said, I want to know why the government is holding this man. And the government couldn't answer, so they dropped all the charges against him after 15 years.
So maybe in the case of Ezra Pound, the rest of us who follow need to see him as one of the original instances, not the only one, but one of the original instances of the false, illegitimate use of psychiatry for politically trumped-up charges to get somebody out of circulation, very much along the same lines as to what was happening in Stalinist Russia.
That was a favorite Stalin technique. That's where it originated. But after Ezra Pound was released from St. Elizabeth, J. Edgar Hoover launched a campaign to have me committed to a mental institution in his place. And that also fell flat. They said the FBI has no power to do that. So they dropped the whole thing.
Yes, and so, what it suggests is that the powers that were involved in this Pound incarceration subsequently determined, like in your case and potentially others, that the overt prosecution on psychiatric charges and the involuntary incarceration in mental hospitals had to be backed off of, at least in terms of the United States, that they would pursue the same objectives by other means.
Well, they certainly did, and Ezra Pound is the only person who ever got released under those charges.
The only one?
The only one.
So
hundreds of people in there on fake psychiatric charges.
That would make for a very interesting show topic in and of itself, and would make for a very interesting investigative journalism piece, it seems to me, in regard to trying to develop a list of who these people are and where they're being held, and certain facts in their biographies that might explain why they have been the recipients of that type of treatment. This would be, I think, something that certainly the American Free Press might be interested in at some point.
Oh, they certainly would, because I knew personally every one of the defendants in the famous Franklin D. Roosevelt treason trials during World War II. And they were finally all released without any imprisonment.
I've read about this in Mike Piper's book, The Judas Goats, where some of those people who were acquitted ultimately by the legal system, were they later among those who found themselves being involuntarily incarcerated?
No, they were not. Once those charges were dropped, they were never bothered again.
Yes. And that makes that whole trial, it seems to me, makes for an interesting subject all its own. Maybe sometime we could have you on the show just to discuss your relationship with all of the individual people that were being falsely charged with treason during the ADL-inspired trial in, 1944, that also had the backing of the Roosevelt administration, where certain prominent people who were talking about the same issues that you're talking about now, Eustace, found themselves in the on the wrong end of a wartime prosecution under charges of sedition and treason. Mike Piper's talked about this a little bit in his book, The Judas Goats. Unpack for us a little bit of your understanding of that 1944 sedition trial, and do you think that we're going to see that sort of thing repeated again?
Well, those charges were initiated in wartime hysteria. In fact, Roosevelt used them as a propaganda tool to link all opposition to his war to save communism, which I call it, during World War II.
Yes.
To label everyone who opposed the war to save communism as a they were a mental case. But actually, none of them were ever incarcerated, but found himself.
Yes. Who, in your view, were some of them, for the listeners who have not read Piper's book, The Judas Goats, who may be unfamiliar with that 1944 sedition trial, who were some of the key figures who were falsely charged at that time?
Well, it was Elizabeth Dilling and Prescott Dennett and Ellis O. Jones. He was a member of our circle in Washington. And those are three that I remember right now. There were about 15 of them. But most of them have died since. I think they've all died since then.
Yes, we will.
A few years.
I wanted to, when we come back in the last few minutes of the show, to see what you think of that sedition trial as it relates to the present-day USA Patriot Acts. We'll be back with Eustace Mullins. Stay tuned to Mark Dankoff's America on RBN.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole Salt Lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole Wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274, 866-497-0274. 497-0274.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined today by Eustace Mullins, who is on the editorial board of the American Free Press. He is a contributing editor to the Barnes Review. And among many other things, Eustace has authored the 1952 book Secrets of the Federal Reserve. Tomorrow on the show, in the first part of it, between 7 and 8 a.m., I'm going to be talking with new friends of RBN, Steve and Susan of StovesAndMoreOnline.com. Take a look at StovesAndMoreOnline.com today, because you will discover, I think, that with everything that's going on in the world, that you might have a very definite need for their products in the days ahead if things get as bad as many of us believe at RBN that they're going to. So that's going to be the first part of tomorrow's show. And then in the last couple of hours, Mehdi Amini of the United Republicans of Iran is going to be on Mark Dankos America to discuss his take on Iran and where he fits in the political spectrum in regard to all of the Iranian expatriates in this country and in Europe who have all kinds of different and sometimes diverse things to say about what they believe about events past, present, and future as it relates to the country of Iran. Eustace, in the final minutes here, we talked a little bit about this 1944 sedition trial where Franklin Roosevelt and the Anti-Defamation League were both trying to put some American patriots out of business in regard to saying things that they did not once said in regard to Roosevelt and the war, and presumably the role of the Zionist lobby in many of these things. We've seen in very recent times, recent years in this country, a couple of classic legal cases that come up, the so-called Jose Padilla case, where recently it's been argued by a federal judge that the Pentagon can determine that any American is an enemy combatant or an unlawful combatant and can have them forcibly detained for an indefinite period of time without legal representation. We've also seen in recent times the Dr. Sami Al-Aryan case, where this Palestinian-American who was acquitted in a court of law in Florida of any charges of terrorism has nonetheless been sitting in federal detention in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, since. And what the establishment media was saying at the time was a real test case for the employment of the USA Patriot Act against all kinds of people in this country that are not towing the party line in what's going on with the war or with Israel or with the Zionist lobby. Do you think that there is a seamless thread that we can draw in terms of a linear line between the 1944 sedition trial that Roosevelt and the ADL were very much interested in and some of these modern contemporary cases where the same type of dissent seems to be in the process of being legally suppressed?
Oh, these people never had a chance. They couldn't have a lawyer and they couldn't have a trial. And that's been the case of a lot of I filed a lot of lawsuits in the last 50 years, and I could never get a jury trial. I always asked for demanded a jury trial. They never would give me one, so all those cases are moot. I mean, they can be reopened for adjudication because they were never adjudicated, and I can reopen them at any time, and I may do that. But it's been a total flouting of the legal system of this country and the American Bar Association and the government, Department of Justice, have been co-conspirators in these attempts.
Eustace Mullins, I wanted to thank you for being on Mark Dankos America today. I learned a great deal. I trust that the listeners did too. Hope to have you back at a future juncture. You can find Eustace Mullins in all kinds of places, including the American Free Press and the Barnes Review. We thank him for being on. We trust that in the days ahead that the information that he has given us will be of use to us as we follow events both domestically and internationally toward what could be a very climactic situation. This is Mark Dankos America signing off today from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. See you tomorrow, 7 a.m. God bless.